All right, we're going to be in Mark chapter 9 this morning. You know, this morning we're going to talk about an interesting experience that a couple of Jesus' disciples had. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Mount of Transfiguration, but that's going to be kind of the topic. And I know it's a Memorial Day thing, but this is what God put on my heart, so I'm sure we can roll it into a Memorial Day thing. Because really, does anybody know why we celebrate, have a holiday called the Memorial Day? It's to celebrate those who were willing to give their lives so that we could experience our freedoms. Churches should be full this morning, shouldn't they? Because somebody gave their life so that they could have freedom in this world. Free from sin, free from the penalty of sin, free from the bondage that comes, free with the destination that they have with an eternal experience. So anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So in Mark chapter 9, we're going to kind of talk about the first 10 verses, and then I'll just kind of go back and we'll look at some of those. But here in these first 10 verses, so we have Jesus. He is taken with him his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they're traveling up the mountain, and he had just told them, some of you guys will not die until you witness the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if that has puzzled you and while you've read the scriptures, but he was talking about, he's like, you guys, some of you guys, you're going to see me in my glorified state before you die. And what was he talking about? 6 days later, he takes Peter, James, and John, and they go up, and they get to the top of, really what this is Mount Hermon there in Israel. He's up at the top, and all of a sudden appear to them, y'all remember? Moses and Elijah. You see, something very interesting about Moses and Elijah, and actually God, is that God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. You see, Moses and Elijah, though their bodies may not be visible to you and I anymore, their souls live on. And you know, after your body goes, that's going to happen to all of us. It happened to them, it's going to happen to us. You are going to take that step, that transition period from this life into the next. The body may go, your soul, the Ecclesiastes writer will say, goes back to the one who gave it. It's going to go back for judgment. It's going to go to God, and he's going to determine, does that soul go to hell or does that soul go to heaven? It lives. It lives on. So Moses and Elijah, they appear. They are very much alive. One day they're going to receive their resurrected bodies, and it's going to be much better than these have that we have today. And you will too. Especially if you've been born again. You will receive a resurrected body. But your soul is going to go somewhere when this body gives up, when it's done. Your soul lives on. And here we see that two souls appear, a Moses and Elijah, and they're standing before Jesus Christ, and he communicates with them. Do you realize that soul that goes on is able to communicate with its Creator? They're conversating. We don't know what they're actually talking about. We're not told that. But Peter, can you imagine Peter? He's like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Have you ever seen anything like that in your life? You ever heard a dead person talk? Probably not. Peter is overcome with himself. And he just blurts out. He's like, this is just so incredible. We are seeing Moses and Elijah. There's no apparent introduction. He just automatically knew. You know, the scripture kind of tells us that that's going to happen one day, that we will be known or we will know as we are known. That you don't have to have introductions in heaven. I don't, you know, unless Moses and Elijah showed up with name tags on their side, I don't think that that's what happened. They knew who they were. And Peter says immediately, Jesus, what we need to do is we need to build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And you don't see Jesus really respond to that. But what you see is you see Peter have this emotional experience. And he wants to act on it. But Jesus, as soon as it's done, we hear something, or we get a glimpse of something that's going on in this heavenly experience. They hear God's voice. This is my son, Jesus. Hear him. Listen to him. Hey, are you obeying that voice from God today? This is what he's saying. You see Jesus? Listen to him. Hear his words. Hear what he's teaching you guys. Don't get too excited about the things that you experience in this world. But hear the living words speak to you. And Jesus turns around and he said, guys, don't tell anybody what you've experienced today. Not until after I die and am resurrected. We're going to talk about that, what happens after that in just a moment. But I just want you to think about it just for a second. They had one of the most emotional experiences that they ever had. They witnessed Moses and Elijah. They heard the voice of Almighty God speak to them directly. Yet it's not the experience that they're supposed to preach. They're supposed to preach the Word. They're supposed to preach what Jesus tells them to, not what they've experienced in this life. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you just be with us, that you will guide us in a proper understanding of your Word, that we may be able to present it. Lord, we're so thankful for those who have gone on before us, who prepared the way, for those willing to give their life so that we could have your Word presented in front of us. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, whom you gave as the propitiation for our sins, your only begotten Son, who loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, would you help us to understand it and to apply it to our life, that we should seek your face in all the things we do, not to get caught up in the things going on in this world, Lord, but to understand your Word and to apply it to our life and to be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So one of the things that we see with Peter here is that he doesn't know what to do with this experience. Would you look at verses 5 and 6 with me in chapter 9? It says, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. You ever been around somebody like that? That something really unique is going on, and they just blurt out the first thing that comes to their mind because they don't know what's going on, they don't know what to do with it, so they just say something, and it usually is something dumb. Y'all know some people like that? I think I've been that person before. That you just don't know what to do with this experience. Peter didn't know what to do with it, so he's like, Maybe we should just make some tabernacles and just celebrate all three of those guys. He just didn't know what to do. You know, sometimes God allows you to see things, to witness things, get a glimpse of the spiritual world, and you have no understanding about what it's really about. You don't get it. You don't understand it. Because that world is so different. You know, I can't even imagine Peter, James, and John. They get to peer into that dimension where Jesus is glorified before them and he can communicate with those who have gone on. You see, I don't understand that. When we get to the book of Acts, we see that happen again with Stephen. That he looks up right as he's about to die. He gets a glimpse of that next world that he's about to enter into. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, reaching out for Stephen, welcoming him home. See, Stephen didn't get to live to tell us about that. We just have it recorded in the Word. We don't know how he felt. We just know, we just kind of get a little bit of the glimpse that even though rocks are hitting him, it's like he doesn't even feel it anymore. All he sees is Jesus. And he keeps his eyes on him. And he doesn't look to the right or to the left. He's not concerned with the rocks flying that are killing him. He sees Jesus. And he knows that he's about to be with Jesus for eternity. You see, every now and then people get an opportunity to peer into that world. But we can't let peering into that world be what we use to build our theology, because we don't understand it. We don't get it. We don't. You know, there's been so many things come out lately, you know, somebody who went to heaven and they came back, or they went to hell and they came back, and then they tell their story. And then people start to build a bunch of theology on it, or maybe they have this angelic theology that they've got going on, and they worship angels. That's not what we use to build doctrine, to build proper understanding. Listen to what God says to these three disciples. Do you see? Look in verse 7 there. And chapter 9, he says, "And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" What do? When you have some unnatural experience, you listen to Jesus, because you may not understand it. You're thinking, "Brother Mitch, this is a Baptist church. Those things don't happen." Do they not? You know, I have heard of some really unique things happening to people here recently. I really have. What do you do with those things that you don't understand? You know, like Muslims over in the Middle East having visions of Jesus and being drawn to Jesus because he said in the vision, they say, "Go talk to this person. They'll tell you about me." You know, I heard that from one of our missionaries that's over in Jordan. He said it was true. What do you do with that? You listen to Jesus. You listen to the Word. You don't start begging for visions and all those things. You stick to God's Word. You don't try to get off in these other things. You stick tight to the Word and what God has already presented, because there's a lot of doctrines out there. There's a lot of people that will tell you all kinds of different things. What do? Take the Father's advice. Look for Jesus and hear Him. Always go back to the Word. You know, Peter will tell us this. He'll tell us what to do with it. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 16. I said it's chapter 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. Who was confused when I said that? I think it's 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Look at 2 Peter. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to Him from exceeding glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Here, Peter is referencing back to this experience, the Mount of Transfiguration on Mount Hermon. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What do you think he's talking about? Is he talking about that experience? He says we have something that's more sure than that experience. A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophet of the scripture, if you were wondering what this more sure word of prophecy is, here he references it. He says, no prophet of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what he's saying is, these words, Peter is saying, prophets gave this to us. Prophets received the word. They were holy men of God. The Holy Spirit moved upon them, and they began to write what God told them to write. And Peter says, yes, I got a glimpse of the next life. But you know what directs my path in this life? The Scriptures. We have a more sure word of prophecy than any experience that you can have in this life. I don't know if you've had an experience. Maybe you haven't. But I guarantee it, if you go around and you witness to anybody, they will have had an experience in their life, and they don't know what to do with it, because sometimes the devil will allow people to have some experience. Sometimes God will allow people to have an experience. That is not what motivates you. That's not what directs you. The Scriptures should be what directs you. We have a more sure word of prophecy. God's holy word, not your experience. You might wonder, Brother Mitch, why this type of message? Because I'm telling you that there is an experience-driven theology, gospel, that is just running rampant in the United States of America. They don't know what to do with it. The people in Baptist churches don't know what to do with it. And there's a reason for it. Because they're not holding tight to God's Word. They don't understand what profit the Word has in their life. And they seek to these experiences. You know, can I name some things that's going on in front of it that is leading captive so many of our young people these days? I'll give you a few. And it's coming from like Bethel Church. I know they produce some music that a lot of churches are singing in their congregations. I don't know how you feel about that, but this is what some of them have got going on. They believe in grave soaking. Do you know what that is? Have you ever heard of that before? It is where they go out to the grave of some older saint in the past, like D.L. Moody, or maybe whoever that they could find, and they lay over the grave, and they think that their spirit can soak up the power of the past saint. You think I'm making this up? I'm not making it up. It's running rampant in the churches of the United States of America. That's what they do. And it's based on the experience. There's a church out in North Carolina. This is the testimony that comes from there, from people who go there. It's not that they go for the gospel, they go for the experience. And that's what they use to attract people. Come here. It's an experience. But they're not being guided by God's Word. You want to know why this church is not full? Because we have a generation that they are living by the experience. That's why whenever you're looking at your Facebook page, and you'll start hearing crazy things where somebody fell off a cliff because they were doing a handstand trying to take a selfie at the same time, because it's an experience. See, they're after the experience. And they want to get closer to God, and they think that they have to have the experience. Oh, we need angel dust falling down from our rafters while the singing and the preaching is going on. Y'all think, I'm not making fun. I'm telling you, this is happening. And if that doesn't happen, They stay until it happens because they think that is the sign of the Holy Ghost. And they want the experience. Yeah, they have a school to be able to teach how to do it. Listen. The Word is what we need. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Let me give you some things about what the Word does. It shines in that dark place. The Word will keep us from sin, according to Psalms 119:11. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. If I don't have God's Word in my heart, I'm going to be prone to sin. I'm going to be drawn to whatever it is. But if I'm drawn to God's Word, it will draw me away from sin. The Word gives us direction. Psalms 119:105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you know where you're going in this world? You may have dreams. You may have a goal in your life. But if you're not letting the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet, you're going to be walking in the realm of darkness. And you're going to be surrounded by the figures of darkness. The demons of this world will be trying to attack you and to lead you astray and to draw you away from the only one who can save. Let God's Word be that lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Don't get distracted by all those things over there. Stay close to home. Stay close to the sure word of prophecy. Listen to God's advice. Hear Jesus. The Word gives reward. Proverbs 13:13. Who despiseth the Word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Set your life to listen to God's Word, to take it in. It's not good enough for you to come Sunday morning and that's all the Word that you get through the rest of the week. You need to have a daily routine where you study the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, pray the Scriptures. Everything in your life needs to be surrounded by the Scriptures and apply it to your heart. The Word is the true source of life. Listen what Jesus would say. But he answered and said, and this is when he's communicating with the devil. See, the devil comes after you. He came after Jesus. You think if he's going to go after Jesus, he's going to leave you alone? He's not going to leave you alone. He thinks you're weaker than Jesus. And there's a reason. You are. Because you've probably not done what Jesus has been doing. You probably have not been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You have probably not been setting your sights to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. You don't have all that Word hid in your life. Yeah, you're going to be weaker. I'm weaker. I get distracted by all these other things sometimes. And God says, you got to get back in the Word. You got to stay close to the heart of God, the more sure word of prophecy. And Jesus tells the devil who is trying to tempt him, guess what he's trying to tempt him with? Food. Not drugs. Not alcohol. Not the opposite sex. No. He's trying to tempt Jesus with something that Jesus' body needs on a regular basis to survive. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every, what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is the true source of life. Hey, what are we living by? What are you living by? Are you living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Or are you seeking an experience? The word received reveals what kind of ground you are. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus goes through all 4 different types of ground, right? There's only one that's good ground. There's only one that produces fruit. Look what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 13 and 23. It says, but he that received seed into the good ground. All right, if you are good ground, this is what you look like. You hear the word. You understand it. You bear fruit. Some of you will bring forth more fruit than others, but you all bring forth fruit. If you have no fruit, are you good ground? That's what Jesus is saying. Where is the fruit? Show me the fruit. Do you hear the word? Do you understand it this morning? Do you have fruit? Are you bringing some 100, some 60, some 30? Hey, maybe some of you are 16ers, 10ers. You bring forth fruit if you're good ground because you're sticking close to the word. You received it in your life. You see, one of the things about this, when you receive the word in your life, when you understand what's really going on in this world, when you really get that the devil is after you and your family, and that you're not a civilian any longer. You're a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. And that you are at war with the devil and his minions. It's a constant fight. Are you prepared for the fight? If you're not in the Word, you're not ready for the fight. You see, a lot of people, they hold on to the experience. And that's what they preach. The experience. Now granted, it's worth something. Because when I was born again, you know what I had? I had an experience. But I don't look back at that experience and say, that's what I'm building my whole theology of Christ. You see, we've got a generation that they'll come to Christ and they say, I experienced love from Jesus. And that's what they preach. They don't know any scriptures. They don't know how to lead people through the actual Bible. They don't want to talk about judgment because all they're talking about is their experience. It's all love, 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 love. And granted, when you realize that you're a sinner and you need salvation, when you realize God's been right all along and you've been wrong all along, you're going to fall down before a merciful, gracious, loving God. And you're going to experience love like you've never experienced in your life. And you could talk about that love. But you know what we do when we get up? We preach the gospel. The gospel will lead you to a God of love. He sure will. But there's something else accompanied a God of love. A God of judgment. A God who's going to do something about the wicked in this world. He's angry with the wicked every day. If you're not born again, He's angry at you. That's not preached very often, is it? You know what else isn't preached very often? If you're not born again, God doesn't even want to hear your prayer. They're an abomination to Him. The only prayer He will hear from you is the prayer of forgiveness and repentance. That's what He wants to hear from you. If you're not born again, He is not happy with you. And you are building up on yourself the wrath of Almighty God according to Romans chapter 2. That's part of the gospel that draws us to the place where God is, where Jesus died on the cross. And what do we do when we get there? We beg for mercy. We plead with God, would you take this sin away from me? And that same person that had the wrath of God being built on their life, that same person that their prayers were an abomination to God, that same person that God was angry at every day, all of a sudden finds themselves in a position of acceptance. I'm not angry at you anymore. I love you now. You are accepted. Welcome home. Why did it take you so long? I've been reaching out to you for so long. I've tolerated so much stuff. That's the gospel. Because there's only one way to get there. It's through the Word. Let me tell you a little bit more about this Word. In Acts chapter 8 and 4, we see, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching what? The Word. What do we preach? The Word. Is there an experience? Yes. Because if you're following Jesus, you're going to have some experiences. Just like Peter, James, and John, it may not be just like them, but you're going to have some. There's going to be a lot of feeling. There's going to be a lot of emotion. We preach the Word, not the experience. The Word leads people to Himself. The experience is what we have as we're following Him. And we witness miracles after miracles after miracles. Yeah, those still happen. Because every time somebody gets saved, guess what that is? It's a miracle. I still believe God heals. That's a miracle. I still believe that God talks to people. And He uses this through the Spirit. He helps them in the paths that they go through in this life. Doesn't the Scripture say that? Be led by the Spirit. God will direct your path. How does He do that? Yeah, that still small voice. You will hear Him in the back of your head telling you which way to go. That's what Isaiah would say. Look at Romans 10:17. Why do we preach the Word? Because of this right here. Because there's only one way to get to Jesus, through faith. You're saved by grace through faith. So how do we get people to faith? They hear something. They hear the Word. That's why we preach the Word. If you lead them to Jesus with an experience, they're going to be expecting that experience. Let me tell you, sometimes you don't have that exciting experience. I'm sorry, but angel dust doesn't fall down on your life very often, does it? You know what falls down on my life? A bunch of bombs from the devil. Because I'm in a war with him. That's what you experience as a born-again believer. You're fighting for the souls of mankind. Not being surrounded by angel dust and prosperity. The gospel saves people from this world of sin. And we preach the Word. Not just the experience. Peter, he didn't even talk about it until he gets to 1 Peter. Now look with me in Revelation chapter 19. Because you might be saying, well, why do you say preach Jesus too? Because Jesus is the Word. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Do you realize that when you preach the Word, you're preaching Jesus? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. The Apostle John would say it like this, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, this morning, hold tight to the Word. Because there's a lot of people out there preaching the experience. And they don't know what the Word says. They don't know half the stuff I told you this morning. It's all in the Word. we have a more sure word of prophecy. You lack faith, you need more word. Those around us that we're trying to witness to, they lack faith. What do they need? They need more word. You know the best way to reach them? This generation? Begin to tell them your experience, but you plug in a lot of word as you're going. Does that make sense? You give them the word with your testimony. That's how we get them. That's how we reach this generation. Because there's a lot of gospels out there these days. And most of them are based on emotion. That experience. Hey, lean on Jesus Christ. Lean on the Word that was made flesh. That's His name. The Word of God. The pianist and the song leader would come up. Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I want to thank You that during these crazy times that we live in, that we have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm thankful that I have a Bible, and I can read it, and I can study it, and it doesn't have to be something foreign to me, but I can find those who understand it and can explain it to me. I'm thankful that it can be applied to my life even today, that this is that You have given word that transcends all times, all generations, and You always have something for us. You always have a message. Lord, help us to lean on Your word and apply Your truths to our lives, just like the Scripture says, that it really may be a light unto our path, that we really can hide Your word in our hearts and not sin against You. Guide us, Lord, in these things. Help us to be the generation willing to take that stand and live for You according to Your word and Your testimonies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.